Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610. With the 5 o'clock fire, presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
Ah, congratulations, it's 5 o'clock, you all work. And luckily for you, old Dirty and Show have all the latest news you need to know. And rosters moves by the Texans and Astros. Let's start with the Texans. The Texans play second-year tight end Kahale Waring on injured reserve. Go ahead and go to sportsradio610.com for that story. But Kahale Waring is on injured reserve. That means there's an unlimited injured reserve. He'll have to miss at least 3 weeks. The Texans have worked out other players. James Burgess, former wide receiver for the Cowboys. Dwayne Harris, Ramiq Wilson, who was a former linebacker with the Chiefs. They've worked out a few guys, but Kahale Waring, third-round pick of a couple of years ago, is going to IR, Clint.
Yeah, the tough part about this is a third-round pick that hadn't been able to work himself into a backup role on the offense or even work himself to a position where he's a contributor on special teams. And a backup tight end, that athleticism is supposed to be a strong suit. He should be very versatile and be able to play all the different special teams. And the fact that he hadn't solidified a spot, at the very least, at that level of player, Buddy Howe, Michael Thomas. I mean, there is a handful of guys that are on this team year in, year out, simply because they can ball on special teams. The most concerning part about Kahale Waring is that he hasn't even in the least bit appeared to have done that. Now, I don't know how severe the injury is that he's placed on IR, or if this is a move to somehow get a different player in there that can do different things on special teams to free up maybe Buddy Howe or one of the backup running backs, because Duke Johnson is likely, I guess he's injured and he'll be a game time decision, or he's injured and he'll be a later in the week decision. Either way it goes, I don't know exactly why Kahale Waring was moved, but the fact of the matter is week one, he wasn't solidified as a true lock, stock, and barrel special teams player at the very least. And that's concerning.
And you gotta look at the decision makers for the Texans, and that's Bill O'Brien at the top. This is not how you draw it up. You don't draw up a third round pick who now is going to miss. What have the Texans played? 16 games and 2 playoff games. 18. He's going to miss 22 games. His first 22 games he won't play because he has to at least miss 3 games. Didn't get any snaps against the Chiefs. That's not how you draw it up. Third round picks that just don't see the field their first 22 games.
And Larry Stafford made a great point of you had Jordan Thomas and Jordan Akins on the squad when that happened. There was really not a need for another tight end. So,
but we know what they saw, though.
If you don't need it. Now, I do understand now why Jordan Thomas moves on and Kahale's still here. Kahale's a lot cheaper. Jordan Thomas is fixing to have to get a contract extension or a contract. He's going to be a free agent.
And so you didn't know what you had yet. From Kahale Waring, because of course he hasn't been on the field.
Yeah, I mean he's going to be cheaper than Jordan Thomas moving forward over the next couple of years, I would think. I probably got to do a little bit of digging, but the one thing that I like about this this list you put out there, Dwayne Harris is a hell of a returner.
I knew that jumped out at
you. Dwayne Harris is a hell of a returner.
I think of the same thing, because I sure as hell still not seeing anything that scares you in the return game.
Oh, man, hey, look, Dwayne Harris is a big-time returner now, so I don't know that the Texans need him at the receiver position, so to speak. But in the return game, Dwayne Harris could be a problem.
Well, hell, they got to get it. They got to try to get as much of an advantage in a lot of different spots.
Sure,
and if they can get somebody,
good teams do.
Yeah, if they can, but they need it. Like it looks like now, the special teams can be a place where they can go. That's big.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, more roster moves for the Astros. Clint, Jose Altuve is back in the lineup tonight. He had gone to the. To the IL, he is back and will play and bat second for the Astros as they face the Rangers tonight. That's a big deal for the Astros to get Jose Altuve back, and hopefully they make the playoffs. They're a game and a half above the Mariners, but get him going and get him some at bats before they play in the games that ultimately really matter.
Shoot, yeah, man, on this back stretch.
He was playing well before he got hurt.
Yeah, on this back stretch of the season, hell yeah, it's good news to get Altuve back. And you got to play some of your best ball to get in the playoffs. Then once you get in the playoffs, if Verlander can contribute and, some of these other guys that are coming back, that have been injured on and off all year long, if you can somewhat get the crew back together to where you at least got – the majority of your starters and your difference makers where they can at least contribute, then you could possibly make some noise in the playoff.
Yeah, and you mentioned Verlander. This is other big news, huge news, Clint, coming from Dusty Baker today. Justin Verlander will throw on the mound at Minute Maid Park tomorrow morning. He will throw 3 to 4 innings of a simulated game. He will face Miles Straw, Dusty's favorite Abe Toro, and Jack Mayfield, looking to throw between 55 and 60 pitches tomorrow. Justin Verlander, 55 to 60 pitches. I didn't know we were up there. I didn't know Josh James could. I don't think Josh James can throw 50 pitches right now. And Justin Verlander is on the mound tomorrow, throw between 55 to 60 pitches.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm just glad I'm not Mayfield or who the other guys you said, Toro.
Abe Toro and old Miles Straw, the fastest guy in America.
Those guys trying to hang on to a damn job. They're trying to hang on to a job with the Astros, and they're fixing to have to hit off Verlander for 50-plus pitches.
If I'm Miles Straw, I'd bunt. Make him move around.
Nah, Dusty don't work on bunting. Dusty's team don't work.
We didn't bunt. Nobody bunt.
That's a big thing. We talked about, and Dusty said it the other day, that Verlander would come back as a starter. But, hell, they're ramping him up. We heard yesterday from Adam Spolane, our SportsRadio610.com insider, said he could pitch as early as September 22nd against Seattle. Well, this would look to put him in line and to get him going for that.
Yeah, you hope they don't need that. I mean, that's to me, that's interesting.
That feels a little quick, doesn't it?
It's a little quick, and it's a little bit. I mean, look, if you can't beat Seattle without Verlander at this point in time, what in the hell are you going to do in the playoffs with him?
But I think they want to get him some work. But this feels.
That's interesting, though. I mean, we talked to Brandon Backe. We talked to several guys. We saw Lance McCullers was able to come back and contribute.
This sounds like Verlander starting game one.
Verlander's going to come out there and toe the rubber for 4 or 5 innings now.
5 o'clock fire.
And speaking of potentially game one, news coming out of Major League Baseball, Clint. Major League Baseball and its players union have reached an agreement on playing this year's postseason in bubble settings. The highest remaining seeds will play the NL will play division series in Arlington, where the Rangers play, and the next highest seed would face opponents right here in Houston at Minute Maid Park. Top seeds in the AL will play home games in San Diego, and then road team and the other lower seeded teams will play in LA. So they are putting bubbles together for the postseason. We've heard rumors about it. I'll be honest with you. I think it's a good idea and a right move. And I give Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball credit for looking at safety. I'm just surprised after watching the last couple of weeks, the NFL have two teams put fans out there.
Yeah.
The college football has had fans out there for a couple of weeks now. That money that Major League Baseball would not think about going the route of having fans in. That's surprising.
I did see a report where Rob Manfred is considering it. Not sure how it's going to happen when you're in a bubble setting, but it wouldn't surprise me if Major League Baseball didn't find a way at the very least to do what the Denver Broncos did last night and have family and friends. They had like 500 people in the stands to where you could at least have some live fans there. It would surprise me if Major League Baseball didn't do that. The bubble thing is interesting to me, though, with Major League Baseball. I'm guessing that if you've got guys in town and they're playing a seven-game series, that they're a lot more likely to bounce and get out of the hotel. And so creating some kind of bubble-like situation for the players to be held accountable and make sure that they don't venture out, they don't order food, they don't have guests. I guess you would have to create some kind of bubble environment, right?
Yeah. I tell you what, though. I give it up to them, but I'm telling you, if I'm Jim Crane and I'm watching these other leagues and them take chances to put fans in the stands, and you tell me I could put a price out to get 10, 11,000 fans out at Minute Maid Park with the money that I've lost, hell, I'll take it. And I'm surprised that's not a thought process. I'm surprised they didn't come out.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's a
thought process. I'm sure it just hadn't come out yet. Now, I doubt they're going to be like the Kansas State Wildcats and have Astros written across their chest with no shirts on. They're standing close enough where you can read the name and everybody's dancing. And I doubt they're going to do that.
Have any masks going out there?
I don't recall seeing the mask, but I'll be honest with you, it was a quick pan of the stadium because I think they realized the old cameraman realized real quick, like, hey, this is a bad look. I got to get off the lower bowl student section. So, I don't expect it to be anything like that, but I would be highly surprised if they didn't find a way for a small portion of fans to be involved.
5 o'clock fire.
And also here out of Houston with the Rockets, the owner, Tillman Fertitta, spoke to the media and said, Daryl Morey, the GM's job is safe. I'm sure he's going to pick the right head coach. And this was a story on SportsRadio610.com. Jeff Van Gundy, former Houston Rockets coach, Ty Lue, Sam Cassell are among candidates for the Rockets. So Daryl Morey will stay on, which I think should have at least been in question.
Yeah, I don't know enough about NBA GMs to know they should do with Daryl Morey. Every conversation I've had, Daryl Morey is one of the top GMs in the game. Obviously, he's responsible for the shape of the organization right now in a sense of whether you're looking at the personnel and how does somebody come in here and they're going to have to revamp the entire roster and system.
Or be forced to coach
small ball, right? And they're going to have to do that with three contracts in place that are going to be tough to overcome between Harden, Westbrook, and Gordon. So I understand that that's a bad look. But Daryl Morey, I guess, is going to be in charge of bringing in a coach and getting beyond that hurdle. So it's his mess. Let him clean it up.
Yeah, I just think to myself, all right, you had the best coach to be able to work that system, and he quit before he got on the plane to go and leave the bubble in Orlando. Like that's what he quit before that. So it'll be interesting to see what the Rockets do. All right, Clint says there is a Texans player that has been unfairly crushed after Thursday's game. We'll get into that and who that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
You know what, Clint, if there was one play that I think Texans fans would look at and say, that play right there signifies how embarrassing that game was for us. It's the only turnover that occurred in the game between the Chiefs and the Texans, and that is the interception that was thrown by Deshaun Watson. And what led to that interception was Tyrann Mathieu beating Darren Fells and beating him bad. It was a one-on-one block. Darren Fells is 260-plus pounds, and Tyrann Mathieu is under 190, 180 pounds, and he whooped him, pulled a Reggie White, as they call the hump move. You pull him, and they got past him. and he got it, and he hit Deshaun's arm, and it led to an interception. Most people look at that, and it's been crushing. I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen it everywhere. It's been crushing Darren Fells, and he did. He's got to be better than that. But you see that as much more than just a Darren Fells issue.
Yeah, definitely. There's no doubt about him. He's got to be better first and foremost. And when they graded the film, there's no doubt about it that Darren Fells got a big fat negative and probably got laughed at, probably got cussed a few times by the tight ends coach. There's no doubt about it. He's got to be better. But in the effort when he was trying to block Tyrann Mathieu, he did make him stop his feet. It wasn't an immediate win to where he was in the quarterback's face before he could make a decision. And it's one of those things where if you take all things, if you just look at that one highlight and go, well, the tight end got a negative, absolutely no doubt about it. But if you really take the entire moment, the play, the game, that play should have been avoided. We should not even be talking about that particular play at this point in time. I mean, if you look at it from Deshaun Watson's perspective, in reality, that's the guy that could have and has to protect these types of things, has to protect the offensive line, the pass protectors. A lot of times a quarterback has to protect those guys to where when they do make a mistake like this, it's not magnified times 10 and doesn't turn into an interception. So when you look at it, Deshaun Watson has to, at that point in time in the game, he had to be aware of the fact that his protection was struggling. They were struggling handling the pass rush of the Kansas City Chiefs. Clearly, the protection was not good Thursday night. In those situations, the internal clock of the quarterback, it has to speed up across the board. I mean, you don't pick and choose when you speed up your internal clock. It's one of those things where you go, okay, the pass protection has been struggling. Chris Jones and Frank Clark are still on the field. And by the way, Tyrann Mathieu, one of the best football players that's played in the last 20 years, just flat football players, is on the line of scrimmage. He's coming. He's blitzing. Whether he's on the line of scrimmage or not, it is irrelevant. He's coming. He's blitzing. It's obvious. They didn't hide it, right? At that point in time, the quarterback's internal clock, you have to have a good feel for the game, a good feel for the moment.
But when you say internal clock, what do you mean? And is this from, how does that develop?
Well, it's developed by specific, detailed, hard coaching.
But it's specific to that game, right?
What I'm talking about right now is that the feel of the game, yeah. Right? Is when you walk to the line of scrimmage and you know they can bring four defenders and Chris Jones or Frank Clark is probably going to win and get and somehow impact you in the pocket.
Because they've been winning all day.
You shouldn't be scared. I'm not saying you should be scared. I'm not saying you should get happy feet in the pocket, but you should be aware that those guys on the other side of the football, and you should have a good feel for the game and your internal clock should speed up. I should go to the line of scrimmage and go, okay, here's how this game is going. I cannot hold the football here and hang on to a safety and give him a couple of extra beats to see if he'll either bite on the underneath route or he'll take the deep route. That's out of the question. You can't do that. That's just having a feel for the game. If we talk about the specific play and the read, the quarterback has to trust his eyes, right? The Chiefs dropped seven defenders into coverage. There was no doubt about it. There's seven defenders dropping deeper than the deepest. Both safeties, both corners, and the three linebackers were bailing out of there like you wouldn't believe. They were deeper than the deepest. Those are situations where Deshaun Watson has had success hanging on those routes and waiting for DeAndre Hopkins to come across the middle and get to the entire different sideline on the opposite side of the field from where he lined up. And then throw a sideline ball and DeAndre Hopkins goes and catches it, right? Just because we see that doesn't mean it's a good idea to try to execute it more often, right? I mean, that is for the offensive line to hold up that long, it's very, very difficult in the NFL. So when you talk about it as a read in the moment, take doesn't matter who the opponent is, doesn't matter who's blitzing or who's not blitzing, when you take that snap. From a read standpoint, you get you a good pre-snap read, and you go, okay, I'm reading that strong safety. I'm reading number 32. You come off your action, you find 32. If 32's backpedaling, you come down to your over route. If the linebackers are backpedaling, you hit the running back on the check down. There was enough time to do that on that play.
And the check down, how much you think that goes for? I mean, because everyone's bailing out.
On that one?
And it's David Johnson.
On that one, it appeared that there wasn't nobody within 10 or 15 yards. And that's how deep everybody was dropping. It appeared on the game film that he, on the broadcast film, that he was wide open and could have ran for 3 days. And so
now, if you're the quarterback and then you think about the skill set and the intelligence of Deshaun Watson, that's all of that stuff you're talking about is pre-snap, right? Understanding exactly, all right, let me see what kind of coverage they're running in.
Yep.
They're going to bail out.
Yep.
This is right here. I know I got this right here.
Pre-snap, you know, like in those situations where they're bailing deep like that, you know which defender you're trying to attack. Like, you know, if there's a middle defender in the middle of the field and you got a deep post with a crossing route underneath it, you know, like a deep cross, say 15, 20 yards in a deep post that you're trying to complete at 40 or 50 yards, it's literally a high-low on that center field, on that one safety in the middle. It's number 32. He's right there. Deshaun comes off his action. If that 32 stays in his back pedal, then you come down to the neck, you come down to the underneath route, right? If he settles his feet at all because it's DeAndre Hopkins running across the middle, then boom, you bombs away over the top. It's literally that quick of a read for DeAndre Hopkins. And shot plays are different. And that was definitely a shot play. Shot plays are different because usually you're trying to attack one particular defender. You know what look you're trying to get to. And if it's not there, you got to check it down. And that's the third aspect of this thing for me, Show, is the feel of the game. I think Deshaun Watson could have done better. The particular read of that particular play, I thought he could have got through his progression, got the football out. It's where he needs to develop and be better. It's where the emphasis of his training since last year should have been. And so I expected him to get there and do that. But the third thing is, and this is really all that matters, is when this coaching staff, like Tim Kelly has to be able to trust Deshaun Watson. Like, he has to trust Deshaun Watson that if he calls a shot play and Deshaun doesn't get the look that he wants, he's got to either abort mission and just hit the check down, or he's got to get him into a better play. I don't know what kind of freedom he does or doesn't have. I know he has the ability to do one of those two. Either get through your progression, just check the ball down right now when you see them backers bailing, or get into a better play. The thing that you can't, like a play caller can't sit there and go, man, I want to call a shot right now because we need a big play. But, man, Deshaun, I don't trust that Deshaun's going to get through his progression and get the ball out, because the alternative is the arm getting hit, it turns into an interception. The alternative is getting sacked for a 9-yard loss. The alternative is him running around back there and getting hit one more time than you want him to, and possibly getting injured. And so Deshaun's got to get to a point where this coaching staff can trust him in, hey, man, we're going to call this shot play, but if it ain't there, you got to get us in a better play, or you got to check that ball down. We can't have you taking unnecessary hits like that. We can't have you getting your arm hit, throwing interceptions. And my point is, if we're doing all of that, then we ain't even talking about Darren Fells and Tyrann Mathieu right now.
Because that's a lot, right? We're talking about a lot of people looked at the play that led to the interception as Darren Fells. Because he did. He got his ass kicked by Tyrann Mathieu. And he's got to be better.
Got to be better.
But I got no problem with what you're saying because, as I've said, I look at Deshaun Watson as a next-level elite-type quarterback. And what you're saying are things that elite quarterbacks
no
do.
No question.
And what you're saying is that, hey, I got control. I'm looking at everything pre-snap. I know before this snap I'm going to have this look, and I know David Johnson's going to have 15, 20 yards. Because I know that there's probably going to be pressure on me because there's been pressure quick on
all
me
day.
All game long. Yep. So I've got no problem with it. Now, with that being said, Darren Fells, you got to go grab a mirror and take a look at it, and you got to do better than that.
Yep, agreed.
I mean, that's got to be – you got to protect four better than that, and I think he knows that. And he's the best thing he does for this team, to me, is blocking it better than he is. I know he set the record for receiving touchdowns for a tight end last year, but the best thing he does is blocking. So he has to do better than that. But what you're saying about Deshaun, I'm not going to have no problem with that because – that's what next-level quarterbacks do.
Yep. And then the next show, that's where he's got to get better. I mean, we've all watched the DeAndre Hopkins highlight reel of him lining up to the left of the quarterback, running the deep over route and catching the ball on the sideline, 20 yards deep, all the way across the field. That takes forever to do that. It's fun to watch. It's a big play when it works, but that's not something you hang your hat on.
Not sustainable.
And that's the one thing the Texans have done well, but in the process – Deshaun's led the league in sacks every year, right? So those are the things that I don't want to take any of the critical analysis away from Darren Fells. He needs it. He's got to do better. But ultimately, your quarterback doing things better can mask a lot of those problems and help out the offensive line, help out the running back, help out the tight ends in a lot of those situations.
All right. Listen, I know it's been a rough week for the Texans, and they have, the way they played, they deserved everything that's been said about them. But I think after this first week, we've got a chance to take a breath and see everything. There is a saving grace for the Texans. We'll discuss coming up.
Oh, show Clint. I love the show, man.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Turnpike for you. I'll introduce you to them boys, too.
Really?
Come on.
Let's do it, man.
Let's go.
In the news here, this dropped in the last hour or so. You missed this. Kahale Waring, third-round pick of 2 years ago, is been placed on IR. So he's going to miss at least 3 weeks, as we discussed earlier. This year is a special. Generally, you can only get two players on IR and bring them back. Obviously, with the COVID-19 season that's made everything different, they have an unlimited amount of players that you can put on injured reserve just for that, right? But they've got to miss at least 3 weeks. So, Kahale Waring is on injured reserve, and I'd like to apologize to the listeners. I had said that that Kahale Waring had not played a snap in his career, and that was wrong, and that was on me, folks.
You don't got to do that, man. Come on now.
That was on me, folks. That was on me. I just thought it, and before I looked it up. I should have looked it up. He played 9 snaps on special teams, and that was on me. That was on me.
Was it 9 snaps? Did you figure that out, T? Was it 9 snaps?
I think I saw Sean Pendergast, who we trust, our partner. You can listen to him each and every morning from shameless plug, from 6 to 10 every single morning. But that was on me. I got it wrong. I jumped the gun. I just thought there was no way Kahale Waring played in that game. No one gave me that information.
Who tweeted the actual, how many snaps? Was it Sean?
That's like Sean. I saw Landry also. Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us that great info, Sean. More shameless plug. You can listen to Landry and Locker each and every day.
Landry and Locker, that's the same person, I think.
That's right. It's Landry and Lopez, same thing. I'm struggling here, folks. Sorry, but I do apologize. I think to try to give you the correct information, and when it gets away from me and I don't look it up, this is the kind of stuff that happens.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us.
It is. And also, by the way, Tyler is the one who told me that, and I trusted him. And it's my fault. Thought my guy Tyler would hold me down. Now that I'm sitting here, Clint, I think Tyler did this to me just to make me look bad.
And, yeah, everybody. Everybody's against you.
And the way you two are smiling back and forth at each other, I feel like you were a part of it.
Oh, we're definitely out to get you.
This would never happen to you.
Oh, we're definitely out to get you.
And he checks, Tyler, when he has information for you, he checks triple twice.
Triple twice?
Yep.
This is like when Show apologizes, but he doesn't really apologize.
Yeah, no, he's throwing you under the
bus. Listen, as a leader.
In such a slimy way, he just threw you under the bus. I mean, just a slimy songbook.
As a leader and an obvious mentor to Tyler, I'm just showing him I'm taking
That's
it.
A great
for the
point,
team.
Man.
I'm taking it point. For the team.
That's a great
now,
point.
Now, he does not want me to be his mentor. He is forcing himself to be for you to be his mentor.
Well,
that's okay. I'm trying
I
to show
I would say
him.
That's a pretty wise decision.
It was on me. It was on me. Right. Nobody else's fault, just mine, except for the person, Tyler, who gave me the information.
Definitely on you. Definitely on show, no doubt about it.
Holy mother of God.
I'm sorry, though. We did get it wrong. Kahale has played 9 snaps in his career, not 0. 9. Not much better. None of them on offense with what he was drafted for in the third round. But he is on IR. He'll have to miss the next 3 weeks. But it's that adds to the rough week, especially for Bill O'Brien, because that's a pick that he made that people had always questioned, and this doesn't help. But it was a rough week for the Texans overall. But I do think now that we can take a breath, Clint, and the first week is completely done,
I think there is a saving grace. The one thing we saw this week, Clint, was this is not a dominant division. There's no one in this division that you should fear. There's no one in this division that's going to run away with it. We didn't see anyone in this division put together a performance like the Chiefs or like the Ravens or even to me like the Steelers where you're like, oh, okay, hold up. There's nobody in this division where you should be fearful of them. If I'm a Texans fan, I'll say I know we were pathetic and we didn't come out with any kind of emotion and to be ready to play a real football game. But I look at the Colts, who many people thought were going to potentially win the division. They met Phil Rivers. They lost to the damn Jags. Then you look at the Titans. They got a win 16-14 to Denver, who had a lot of their weapons missing, and they made critical turnovers and errors in the game that led directly to scores for the Titans. Like, I don't think you should fear anyone. 713-572-4610. After watching this weekend, how do you come away from the division? To me, I think it's the saving grace, Clint, that nobody's running away. You don't have a dominant team in your division.
Yeah, I don't feel any other way than I felt a week ago about the opponents in the division. I don't look at what happened in Indianapolis as that big of a shocker. I can't believe Jacksonville won a game, but it doesn't. Like, I don't all of a sudden not worry about Indy because Mac's gone and they lost to Jacksonville week one.
Well, I say not worry about him. I'm just saying.
Well, I don't worry about him any more or any less. Like, they didn't move my needle with Indianapolis game. The Titans, I worry about. The Titans, I worry about their strengths versus the Texans' weakness, obvious weakness. I worry about the caliber team they appear to be, in a sense of just a championship caliber team, doing things the right way, strong on both sides of the ball, having an identity. I worry about that particular team. I don't worry about them any more or any less than I did a week ago. That's for damn sure. I mean, but I do worry about Tennessee, where I don't think you worry about Tennessee at all.
I didn't say I don't worry about them at all. I look at them and like I saw a lot of power rankings, Clint, that had the Titans and the Colts in the top 10, that many people thought they were top 10. Hell, I've seen the Titans as high as 7 in some power rankings. I didn't get that from that. Like, I didn't get in watching the games, and I didn't get from, oh, man, that's a dominant team. That's going to be a problem. And there, I mean, now, they do some things. They got, but no, I didn't get that. Like, obviously, to me, Phillip Rivers does not scare me at all, and neither does Ryan Tannehill, and that's the most important position on the field, and it doesn't scare me. Now, if the Texans continue to play the way they do and the way they did on Thursday, then that's a different thing. They're completely. I don't think they're going to come out like it's a preseason game.
Those guys don't scare you like a Pat Mahomes scares you. But
that's what I'm saying.
They're drivers of the ship.
You saw, man, Seattle against Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, they're not in that caliber. I mean, that's where the Texans are trying to get. I mean, they're trying to get to that level. I mean, they're not that scary of a team. Now you're talking. Now that's. I mean, hell, I picked Seattle to win it all. I mean, that's. That's no surprising that they are who they are, and they're a popular pick. I'm not making a big bold statement.
Go on record. I picked the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, it's strange you hadn't mentioned that since that Sunday, that nice game they put on the field Sunday, versus who? Was it the Detroit Lions or the Bears?
They played the team without a team.
The Redskins, even worse. Good.
No, don't
gosh.
Call them that. They played the Washington.
Even worse. Who did Washington I say? Did football. I say Redskins?
Yeah, they played the Washington football team. That's all right. I still call them the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, I'm more worried about Tennessee than I am anybody in the division.
You're overdoing it with this Tennessee.
Well, no, just because you disagree.
He's overdoing it.
Just because you disagree doesn't – I mean, just because you can't give a guy props that – goes in there and is down a point, gets
proper
the ball
props.
Back, and under 3 minutes, he drives his team down and wins the ball game. I mean, the exact knock on Tannehill is when the game's in his hands, he doesn't have the ability to go win the game. Well, he did that last night. And you can't even seem to give him that simple respect of, you did a hell of a job throwing the football late in the game.
He played a good game and reminded me exactly of what I thought he is. an average quarterback.
No, that's not true. If we'd have asked you before yesterday, there is zero doubt that you would have said if the game's in his hands late and he has to throw the football and they don't have time to run the football, he's not any good and they're not going to win a game. And that is precisely what he answered every critic last night. No question.
He scored 16 points, man.
No question. He answered every critic last night.
All right, man. Hey, congratulations. I'm giving him the proper credit. He's not anything that scares me. They put up 16 points.
You want me to rattle off the 10 to validate what you're saying?
No, but there's no validation because you're about to rattle off things and then add fictional points.
No, I won't add anything. The 49ers scored 20. The Cowboys scored 17. The Rams scored 20. I mean, the Buccaneers scored 23. I mean, there's the Broncos scored 14. The Giants scored 16. I mean, there's a lot of good football teams.
Except for those ones that you named.
The Eagles.
16s aren't good football.
The Eagles, your team that you picked, won 17 points.
Yeah, they were pathetic.
17 points. Patriots, 21 points. You mean keep going here?
What are the point you're making? He put up 16.
The point is the total doesn't matter. The total points does not matter.
It does matter.
The game, no, it doesn't. If you win is what matters. I mean, there was clearly two really good defenses on the football field last night. Clearly, two really good defenses on the football field last night. And he drove down the field and won the ball game when, because of the situation, the time, Derrick Henry was a non-factor.
They won the game, but yes, wins does matter. But you also, when you're talking about what we're talking about in terms of the fear for the Texans in the division, you also have to look at how the game went, all right? They got multiple gifts from the Broncos, including a fumble at the 20-yard line that set them right up in the red zone because of a careless fumble for the Broncos. The Broncos had a chance at the 1-yard line. They had a first and goal at the 5, got it to the 1, and they weren't able to get in. I'll give the Titans credit with their defense. But they had a lot of issues, and they had turnovers that set them up and helped them. I don't think against better teams that are different than the Denver Broncos, to me, I look at that against their opponent and everything that happened in the game, and I say, that team doesn't scare me. Like, Ryan Tannehill is an average quarterback. Someone texted in and said, Ryan Tannehill is an above-average starter, plus he can beat you with his legs. Ryan Tannehill is an average starter who can at times go above it, but consistently he's not an above-average quarterback.
No, he's an above-average quarterback.
Play to win the game.
He's a perfect fit in that system. Everything they ask him to do, he does really, really well, including the things that other teams don't do well. Use tempo. He does it. He has complete command of the offense and uses tempo effectively multiple times throughout the night last night. The run game, there's no doubt about it that he's getting them in the right play, and he's doing it all under a play clock in tough scenarios at times. They're in Denver in a place where nobody can breathe. It's first game of the season, no preseason, all that yak about how the offseason was a struggle, and his team came out and played well. If they don't miss three field goals and an extra point, that game is never even remotely close.
That's not true either. If we want to go ifs, if the Denver Broncos don't fumble the ball and set them, they were down 7-0 and doing nothing on offense. If the Broncos don't fumble the ball in the second quarter and set them up at the 20, then it isn't close. Or if the Broncos get in when they have a first and goal inside the 5, then it's a different ball game too. We ain't talking about no ifs. They missed him. And let's just be honest, he ain't leading them on touchdown drives. Now everybody talking about field goals.
Yeah,
he'd lead them on field goal drives.
That's
Listen,
fair.
Y'all got me out here like I don't like Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, you're hating on Ryan Tannehill.
I don't believe he's more. You
can't even sit there and go, yeah, the game was on the line late. It was.
Yes, he let him down to a field goal.
The game was in his hands. He threw the ball really well and let him down to what – if the clock went around, they'd have scored a touchdown. Hell, he missed a throw that would have been a touchdown, by the way. If we're talking about touchdown drives and field goal throws. I mean, field goal misses. But then he puts his team in position to win the game. That's a hell of a job.
He did a nice job. He did a nice job.
This guy.
It's 16 points. He did a nice job. I'm just saying, if you fear Ryan Tannehill, I ain't going to tell you how to fan in that system, and you're right, he's perfect for that system. If you fear Ryan Tannehill, well, you can have
it. Well, nobody said it. Nobody said anybody fears Ryan Tannehill. No, it doesn't. Now, we're talking about, do you fear the Titans? No, I don't fear the Titans. They're the best team in the division, in my opinion. But your hate for Ryan Tannehill is what we're – quit taking our conversation about your hate for Ryan Tannehill and turning it back into a Texans Titan.
I don't have
– That's not what the conversation's about.
I don't have a hate for Ryan Tannehill.
Yes, you do.
I just think he's an average quarterback.
It's unbelievable.
What do you mean it's unbelievable?
The fact that you sit here and you can't admit that you have a hate for Ryan Tannehill.
I don't have
a hate for Ryan. If somebody walked in and said, hey, Clint, right now, give me the two individuals in all of sports – that Ron, the show Hughley, hates the most. It would be Rivers and Tannehill. And I'm not saying that because it's convenient today because he won. I'm being completely honest.
I don't hate Phil Rivers either. I'm just telling you, Phil Rivers sucks. And he's done. The way you were – remember, that was just 1 week. But you were the one saying, stick a fork in Cam. And I told you, no, stick a fork in Phil.
Yeah, and the difference between me and you is Cam went out there and played well. And I can go, hey, man, I was wrong. Tannehill goes out there and plays well. And you go, oh, he only scored 16 points, man. What the hell? He only scored 16 points.
You're propping him up like, oh,
no, no, we're having a conversation about one guy. I'm not propping him up. I'm not ranking him in the quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm simply telling you he had a hell of a game last night where he threw the ball more than he needed to. And in the moment, he answered the bell and won the game for his team.
He answered the bell. I'm sorry that I'm not
I'm sorry you don't have the – Courtney, I'm so sorry.
Of the Denver Broncos without Von Miller that he walked in – it put up 16 points against the Denver Broncos.
This ain't about the Broncos. This is about our conversation is about your inability to just say, you know what, I was wrong. Dude balled out last night in a situation where
I wrong about? That he's an average quarterback. I don't think I'm wrong about that.
You're talking about field goals and leaning on the fact they only scored 16 points when if you look at what the quarterback did, he played at a high level all night long and put his team in multiple situations to win the football game. And then in the fourth quarter, when those situations failed because other guys couldn't do their job, he let them down the field and put them in another situation and won the game. You just can't come to grips with that.
Clint, this guy is a complete clown.
I second that. Courtney, I apologize. I'm so sorry for you, Courtney.
I guess I'm sorry.
You got to deal with this.
You all believe. That's fine. You ain't going to make me change my mind. All right?
Clearly.
Listen, you ain't going to make me. Tannehill, people texting, he's a hell of a quarterback. Okay. Right. That's fine. He's a 17 to 20th ranked quarterback in this league. Straight up. He's been that. That's what he is. In the playoffs, the run to the AFC Championship game. 2 games. He didn't throw for 100 yards. When the game is in his hands.
This is Pat Mahomes.
This is not Pat Mahomes. This is watching.
There's different ways of playing football than running around.
I don't have any.
I've been very critical of Ryan Tannehill, but I know good quarterback play when I see it. I know winning quarterback play when I see it.
I don't
need a guy to throw for 400 yards every game and 4 touchdowns. When your team asks you to do certain things, all you can do is do that to the best of your ability, and he's damn good at what he does.
And I didn't say he isn't. I never said he's not a winning quarterback. I said he is an average quarterback.
Like, based on what? Like, that's just a general statement. Based on what? Like, average in what?
Based on his career. He is not anybody that is elite or in the second tier. He is not a – he is a person that needs more help. He needs more help.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
He needs more help, right? I think
yeah, he had a hard time winning in Miami, like everybody else over the last 82 years.
Anybody in Miami needs more help.
Oh. I'm not saying that. It's okay. It's fine. Miami stinks. That's fine.
You don't think Ryan Tannehill's like a top half of the league quarterback?
God no, hell no. Start rolling through these quarterbacks. Do we need to do that?
Yeah, let's roll. Let's
want to start rolling through these quarterbacks.
The conversation is who does a better job on Sunday, not whose ceiling is higher and who can do more, but who does a better job for their football team at what they're asked to do at winning football games.
And can we add to who I trust to win games?
Who you trust?
Who we trust to win games?
But
Josh Allen, who you taking? Josh Allen or Ryan Tannehill?
I'm taking Ryan Tannehill.
I'll give you that. Cam Newton.
I'm taking Ryan Tannehill.
All right, I'm taking Cam Newton. Lamar Jackson.
Jackson.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger. Can we take the Hall of Famers off the list? They're
in the league. Deshaun Watson.
Watson.
Phillip Rivers.
Tannehill.
All right. Gardner Minshew.
Tannehill.
Mahomes.
Come on, man. Mahomes.
Derek Carr.
Tannehill.
I'll take Derek Carr.
Dak Prescott.
Dak.
Sorry, being honest. Thank you. Daniel Jones.
Tannehill.
I'll take Tannehill. What's my man's
name? Tyrod Taylor.
Carson Wentz.
Wentz. It hurts me to say that, but Wentz.
Matt Stafford.
Yes. That's a tough one for me.
Stop. Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Kirk Cousins.
That's a tough
Matt
one.
Matt Ryan.
Very similar.
I'm not even. I'm just the entire division you would take. The NFC South and Bridgewater and Brady.
I would not take Bridgewater before. You take Bridgewater before Tannehill?
Yes.
Get the hell out of here.
What do you mean, get the hell out of here?
He's played one game as a starter. Are you kidding me?
Okay, now Bridgewater's only played one game as a starter. Is that where
we are?
What
do you want to go back 4 years before he broke his knee?
Well, first off, he played five and he was 5-0 last year.
I don't give a damn what he did. You would take Teddy Bridgewater.
All right, guys, some music means we got to go.
Hey, I'm talking right now. You take Teddy Bridgewater over Tannehill.
Clint Sterner's crazy. Get the hell out of here. I'll drive the show. And hell yeah, I would.
Me and Coors Light and jump off in this pool.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.